to another episode of Tennessee Fro with Reading How. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. Thank you for joining me today. This is becoming my usual, it's starting to become my usual Sunday, part of my usual Sunday routine. I slog through the book reviews in three different newspapers. Happy to see what I'm going to add to my book hoard, and just tickle pink that I get to join you in today's episode. We got so much that's at stake with the run-up to the election, and I wanted to go over the pledge of a democracy. I will be reading from what I've added, been able to add to Chatterbooks this week, also what I actually ate today, and what I'm actually writing. This is the beginning of the NaNoWriMo writing challenge for 2020. And 2020 has been kind of a shit year for a dumpster fire, crazy psychotic run. But I'm participating in the NaNoWriMo writing challenge. I've only got 156 words for today, but I think I'm going to in earnest be completing or writing my fictional podcast script in the upcoming days to be able to make my 75,000 word count. So I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it, and thank you for joining me. So as I sit here reflecting on just how blessed I am, we are 2 days towards the run-up for the national elections. And I think not only am I nervous, but it seems like other world leaders are nervous if you read the papers and watch the news. But I feel especially driven not only to speak on several things that are happening in our world today, but I want to do this declaration because I think it reflects everything that I believe in at this time. It's a full page article or a full page ad taken out in the New York Times today. Democracy Declaration. We the undersigned educators in pre-K through 12 colleges and universities, representative of schools across the United States, and what I'm going to put in there, and just as regular everyday citizens like Tenfro, I endorse as a means of giving a voice to each one of us, of expressing the dignity of each individual, of representing the values of our society, and of ensuring the lawful transition of authority. Every freedom depends upon the freedom to vote. Each vote counts. Count each vote. And I'm going to have to do a little bit of research on the Schenker Institute, because I don't really join or sign my name up on a lot of these things, because you also get unsolicited requests for funds, etc. And I think find that kind of annoying. And I've had to block or unsubscribe to ActBlue and several other campaign super PACs, in which is I find annoying. But I think I will join this, and I will. This will be one of the first things that's posted on my podcast today because of what's at stake. I think we'd have to plant a lot of those. So, what is at stake? And it's clear to me, and I don't know what is clear to other people, is we've seen divisiveness, we've seen an illumination of every division in this country. The have-nots are getting more and more broke. The haves have been rewarded for following someone that is clearly devoid of ethics and empathy and good sense. Because what I've noticed is why we have to vote and why we really have to at least flip the house. I don't necessarily, the more and more I learn about independents and different types of Democrats and the Libertarian Party, what have you, I am finding that it is just obvious that we cannot have the majority that we actually have now. It is blatantly clear to me that the current occupant of the White House does not have the skill, does not have the business acumen, does not have the good common sense to run this country. We have seen in the weeks leading the last several months, his definite ineptitude being highlighted in what it has cost our country. It has cost human lives. It has cost a bunch of money, and it has cost our sovereignty, and no one is looking to us for leadership at this time. I think that is the biggest national security risk if we don't have this massive shift and massive change in leadership. This power grab for the Supreme Court, without looking at the state level seats as well as the National House and Senate, has us in a bind. We have every governing party not being a reflection of the diversity and the relative liberalness and common sense way our nation is. So we have swings to one side and only benefiting one side. I find that's the thing that scares me the most. So if we look from a top-down approach, everyone from the dumbass in charge to his cronies on both sides of the aisle, to one side of the aisle, especially in the Senate, McConnell has to go. Lindsey Graham has to go. This fool Perdue that was lying about the pandemic in the beginning, saying it's no worse than the flu while he lined his pockets, that fool has to go. And Kelly Loeffler, her concert, she got to go too. The Grand Wizard Clan Princess has to go. And as well as McSally. There are just so many seats that are up for grab that those people definitely need to be removed, because 35 years in a Senate seat, not only need there to be term limits for the Senate, there really needs to be term limits for the Supreme Court justices. I think we need, because this is not, these real career politicians that they've all been complaining about, all of y'all need to be removed, because all of y'all, I think, are jackleg. But then there are some that are just more jackleg than others. And those are four that I basically just mentioned. Because when you got the people running for office, like down in Georgia, where they're not getting any protection, like, oh, what's this young woman's name? Mocha Jasmine Johnson. Who, when she went on an online forum and the trolls did start doing racial slurs, etc. That to me is offensive, and it's a black eye on how elections should be run. If Trump can actually get his chair, get the presidency, anyone with the inkling and willing to work hard for the populace also should be allowed to run. But I don't want to keep just pounding on the fact of his ineptitude. I just want the record to be able to speak for itself. For example, did he keep his first term promises, the main promises that he basically lied or just expounded upon when he was running, was build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. Actually, most of the wall, it has not been built along that 500-mile expanse in along the U.S.-Mexico border. Some of it is falling down. Some of it they've already tunneled over, and they've already figured out a way to go over it. That money could have been used to set up electronic and by-air surveillance and equipped Border Patrol with better surveillance technique. They didn't really need a wall to do that. Heat sensing, scanners, etc., people to basically turn them back and deport them if they don't have the right paperwork immediately. That's what they needed. They didn't need a freaking wall. And Mexico was like, huh, we ain't paying for shit. So with that said, the wall is a wash. Appoint conservative judges. Basically, yes, with the last person that was just sworn in to take the place of RGB, I think that was just a definitely conservative power grab, and I find it completely offensive. But I'm hopeful that maybe in the next decade, we can come up with a means to basically limit. There's going to have to be limitations on their terms. I'm not sure if I agree with packing the court with more judges, or if it just seems more feasible. It's not a lifetime appointment. I think it should be limited to 6 to 8 years, because it takes about that to basically overturn some of the most egregious decisions. Replace the Affordable Care Act. Every time and every decision, they're still trying to dismantle that, because how dare you have a national health care rule that takes care of Americans. That is just smacks of being blamed for not being able to afford high price health care, or not working for a private insurer. And it leaves just so many people waving out in the wind. But it's that, it's a part of some knowledge that people, you should pay for it, even though they can't pay for it. And even though every study shows that if they have health care, they will get things taken care of earlier instead of when they're catastrophic and you have to pay more money. Doesn't make any sense. The tax cutting has only benefited the top 2%. The renegotiation of trade deals were null. It basically resulted in higher tariffs, pulling out of trade deals, and made enemies with a whole bunch of people throughout the world. And that's why we basically have no one that is coming to our side. And even Canada has closed the borders and looking, giving us the side eye, until we do. We got to do so much work to repair relationships broken by these false promises and grandstanding through these trade negotiations. I think it's absolutely deplorable. How can you expect a failed businessman, someone that has filed for bankruptcy, owes foreign entities over $1 billion, to basically negotiate and make positive gains for us across the world when he has no proof of being able to do that? He was a representation of good, but it was all false. It was all smoke and mirrors. So I don't believe in smoke and mirrors. I believe in the truth. And the truth is, he is not a great standing businessman. He's rich because he don't pay his bills. But I think the tide is changing on that. All the notes have come due. He's had 4 years to stall. Everybody wants their money. And he's not going to be able to use the presidency as his personal piggy bank and savings account. And personal, using the DOJ as his personal lawyers, because it's obvious, it's all personal lawyer Giuliani is more interested in spinning some untruth about Hunter Biden, that he, if he doesn't, if he's not, Giuliani is not careful, he may be bought up on ethics charges. And I'm wondering if they are truly considered disbarring him for his antics in the last few weeks of this election. If he is not disbarred in the next couple of years, I will be shocked. So it makes you wonder where all these things are going and the importance of, number one, being informed, still being and continuing to be informed, and knowing where the loophole is, and research more, just in case something sounds good, doesn't, you have to make sure that it is appropriate to throw your hat in, and making sure that you are being told the truth, and they're not withholding information from you, and you're not being manipulated. So that's why I don't think, as a democracy and as the United States, we cannot have four more years of this nonsense. Our standing in the rest of the world almost has been irreparably harmed by the nonsense of the last 4 years. He's not just saying stupid shit. He's actually enacting stupid shit. All of these trade agreements, etc., and even the environmental accords, the rollbacks, all of those things are going to do harm to more people than just the two top percent. And it kills me that the people that are supporting this fool are the most that are going to be affected negatively with some of his dumbassery, but they still support him. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the truth staring you in the face and opt to believe lies. So that's what this election means. Not just looking at some of the dumb crap that he said and offensive crap that he said. Look at some of his actions that are going to affect the majority of the people so negatively that we're going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to build from this. And we are the ones that are going to be left out in the wind to survive. And unlike, there is, like, he is a pumpkin, a huge individual, but he is not the great pumpkin. He's not going to bring presence. He is not going to help the majority of Americans, except for the top 2%, people that don't pay their bills and don't like to pay taxes, just like he is. Those are the only people that are going to be helped by his inactions. That is why his supporters that are represented on the ground, as well as represented in our government today, they all have to go. They all have to go. No more bowing and knuckling to tomfoolery. They all have to go. And I'm going to leave you also with this warning. To those people that support him on the ground, and you've been quite vocal, you need to make sure that your support or your complacency does not find you on the wrong side of history. Because if there is a true change in the guard, those of us that don't support him and his tomfoolery, we have long memories. We don't forget. We vote, and we also support with our dollars. Those of us that have the means to have saved and to do big things that could help you, we actually have the choice to withhold our support because you decided to be on the wrong side of history. That's the only warning that you're going to get. Make sure you're on the right side of history in these upcoming months. Make sure that with everything that this administration represents and your support of that representation is going to lead you on the wrong side of history. And again, those of us that choose not to be complacent and choose not to support this fool, how we represent our support, where we shop, where we get our advice, and also where we do dealings about where we choose to live. We don't legally have to do business with people that obviously support a regime that would opt to ride us into the ground and thinks that we are less than. We don't have to support you. So, clear as day, this is a clear warning. There's so much at stake. I am cautiously hopeful for a change in regime, but I'm also very anxious in if they don't win, and the repercussions of their continued support and their complacency. What is that going to mean in the upcoming years, and how they're going to react when people, they outed, people know that who they supported, and they actually have to go out of business. And it has nothing to do with the other side. It's just because you decided to wow out and support a fool, an obvious racist, misogynistic fool. So that's all I got to say about that. The least thing that I can do for my episodes is make sure that I stay true to not only my Twitter handle, but also the tenet. And I'm going to start this over again. The least I can do is stay true to my Twitter handle, TV Food Wine Girl, but also stay true to the name of the podcast, Tenfro is Reading, but also I've come up with this part of the episode, Tenfro is Eating, because I've gotten pretty much some great likes on things that I've actually discovered and just preparing and presenting one of my favorite foods. Well, in my reading, one of the major things that I do read is the New York Times. I try to read it from cover to cover, predominantly looking at the food, the arts and leisure section, styles, and of course the book review. But it's also, I found something that I wanted to try today because it seems so simple to make, but not really. It's something called Shiro, which is a spicy stew from Eritrea. I've actually, the only thing that I've substituted was chickpea powder. I'm in a bougie-fied part of Tennessee, but I doubt if I will have any need for chickpea powder besides this dish in the upcoming months. So it's easier for me to have substituted it for for ground beef. I'm just saying. It looks like it has that same consistency anyways. I'm sure I could have used something else like taro or even what's that, soybean paste. But nah, I'm just going to use that because it looks like a different type of chili, but it's going to have a twist to it. So here we go. What am I eating? Tenfro is eating and making Shiro. One of the things that I actually have to do is because I had like three grinders. I wish I could have kept one of them out of storage in preparation for something like this. So I have to unplug my coffee grinder, clean it, because I'm going to be grinding up spices that are a part of this meal. This is where it gets a little bit complex because I'm not much of a cook, and it's crazy that a lot of these ingredients I'm probably not going to be using with any consistencies in other dishes. But if this goes well in making this stew, I'm hopeful that I'll be able to use it somewhere else. It's going to cause me to not only put this particular recipe in a file, but also to look up other cookbooks with that feature cooking from Eritrea. So, and that's how a bookworm researcher actually has to flow. But first, you have to make sure that all of your cooking appliances are properly cleaned out. And it's just so funny just how much usage my coffee grinder gets, because I usually make I prefer coffee from whole beans. So the idea of having to clean this out to at least get the weeks of coffee residue off of this grinder, probably I'm just going to end up purchasing a grinder just specifically for if this, again, if this goes well, I'm going to just need a grinder specifically to use for instances like this when I have to roast and cook and grind up my own spices. So, clean that up as I go. Come back over here to copper squat. Oh, I have to cut up some more garlic. One of the things that if anyone actually has bought anything from the food service, they always put in a whole clove of garlic. Like you basically are gonna run out of garlic for some other reason. Like I don't have four other cloves from previous dishes, but that's one of the things I'm gonna have to chop up relatively soon. So here we go. And a heavy skillet, and just as Chef Salmon basically said in the Salt Heat book, before I actually put anything in it, I actually have to heat up the pan first. I'm going to add cinnamon, cumin or coriander seed. Make sure I got this. And it's only a part of that stick. Peppercorns, cardamom, and allspice. Think let's see what's in this. Mulling spices. There's cinnamon already in this. There's some orange peel. There's some allspice in there. There's cloves. This is going to have a specific, different, I think, flavor to it, because I couldn't find some of these wonderfully aromatic spices, even in the whole paycheck. I had some ground cumin seed already in here, but that's neither here nor there. So I do have some nutmeg, Japanese seven spice is in here. There's red pepper. There's ginger. Use some of that too. So my food will just have a little bit different dynamic to it. Here's my paprika. Probably that's why it has such an intense red color, not only from the red onion, but also from the tomatoes that's a part of this mix. So here we go. Cinnamon, coriander, fenugreek. La 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 la. Here we go with cinnamon. Oh, smells good. Wow. There we go. Inch stick. There we go. Pop that off. Some cumin. Wow, yowzer. Peel that off. It's really wild where people think that, you know, you could actually spend a really creative day cooking and reading. You don't actually have to be tucked up underneath people all the time. I'm just saying, I'm not that one of those kind of people that I have to always be around other people. That's not how I've never rolled like that, and I've never felt that urge. But I do know I have to have human contact, but it's just gonna have to be on my own terms, because I'm not all that private, but I like to kind of organize my own thoughts, and cooking just allows you to do that. Reading definitely, but cooking is also one of those things that just let us just think, you know, explore the possibilities, because this is what it's all about. It's about creation. It's about taste. It's about, you know, just living. My black peppers. And this is what is the beginning of what is called a Burberry spice mix. So it's kind of fly. And I'm going to use a little bit of this Japanese allspice because it has some of the ingredients that I need in it, as well as this, a little bit of this mulling, but not too much, because some of the ingredients of both of these seeds, etc., are not a part of this particular mixture. However, this is going to become the Felicia Burberry mix, because I had to basically roast and grind up what I had available. I'm just saying. I would... I wish I actually had what is considered a podcaster smell-o-vision or pot-o-vision or smell-o-cast, because all of these ingredients are very aromatically wonderful. I only have to toast this for about 2 to 3 minutes. Careful not for it not to overcook it. That's why I brought my chair in here, so I can actually evenly keep an eye on this and not do my usual just get up and walk away, because that would be not a good thing. But I also need to keep an eye on this heat, for because I don't want it to be I don't want it to be unevenly or burn. I don't want to add bitter to the mix, but that actually smells pretty good. So I'm gonna let that cool. Turn that off. And then you add the chilies and onion flakes. And you basically grind all of this ingredients plus the onion flakes. And I'm using red pepper flakes as a substitute for the those specific chilies that I have access to this mixture. While that cools down and I reorganize this one pan at a time. Where's the top of the grinder? Here your tea is. I'm getting so much added value from my Food Ninja because it allows me, as a food processor, as a smoothie maker, it's kind of cool. And the book basically doesn't tell you that you have to use a specific type of grinder. I just have this Hamilton Beach one that I bought from Walmart like a few years ago, I think. So I'm adding in my onion flakes as well as some red chilies, which I think is going to give it its kick. About that. I think I'm going to need this a little more. Well, I'm going to have to cut up this red onion and those cloves in a minute. To a fine mesh sieve over a bowl. And then put back into the grinder more stuff. Okay, here we go. And the crazy thing is, I bought these strainers basically this week, and I had no idea that they were going to be coming in handy as I prepare this specific dish. Who knew? Let's see. Why do I keep... There it is. Keep misplacing that fine mesh. You know this is going to smell amazing. I can almost feel it. Cooling the gang. Ooh! Lord Jesus, that smells good. So I am sifting and putting all the big pieces back into my handy dandy clean coffee grinder. Absolutely got caught on the side. Sifting. How crazy is that? Give it one more. Make sure that doesn't get caught and burn out my motor. And no coffee for the kid, and nobody wants that. That'll do it. That just seems to me, it is just so beautifully and wonderfully fragrant. I think that's going to just make a great mixture. And I wonder, do I have a separate container to keep that in for whatever's left? Okay. So, regrind large pieces. I add the paprika, ginger, and nutmeg. Paprika. And the ginger is actually in that mixture, that Japanese mixture, because I don't think I actually have any ginger here. Nah, I don't have any. Whatever he's at, I have any ginger, but that's cool. And I'm going to mix this all together. Onion, garlic, in the food processor until it's minced. You scrape down the sides. Oil, onion, berberry, and some salt. Okay, that is for puree. Okay, so I got a few seconds. because this next part is going to require that I got to slice up this onion. And what I'm going to do is finish preparing this. And then I'll get back on the line and just let you know with my substitutions how it all came out. I think in the next couple of days, it's supposed to be really kind of on the cool side. So this is just going to be a type of chili or type of stew with a different dynamic. But it's going, I think it's going to be pleasant, a pleasant change up from just regular run-of-the-mill chili like we have here in the South. And I'll let you know how it tastes in a minute once I prepare all the rest of this stuff, okay? So I sit here eating the product of my labor. I made a modification to this New York Times Magazine recipe for shira, which is made with ground chickpea powder, and I added beef. I think my favorite thing, besides roasting cardamom, berries, and allspice, but I honestly think that, which is probably one of the most aromatic and tasty things on the planet. But that garlic and red onion paste is probably going to become one of my most favorite things on the planet, and I'm going to have to find other uses for that. But exchanging beef for chickpea powder, I think, was a good choice, because I also knew that there was no way in heck I was going to be using that for anything but this recipe. But I think the beef added extra dynamic and a savoriness that you just can't get from chickpeas, and a consistency that you just can't get from a vegetable-based flour. But I'm glad that I had the opportunity to actually make this, because it is so freaking good. If everybody could actually have soup like this on a cold night, it would make all the difference in the world. Paying attention to heat, making sure that you use fine grain, preferably Himalayan salt. All it just basically enhances the food, and tasting the food as it gets to its next layer or next stage of doneness is also key And when you prepare any meal on your own, I think I actually have enough in that small bowl or that small that to make at least 3 or 4 more servings. I'm going to keep one out because I'm probably going to have some of this for lunch over the next couple of days, and then have something to put in the freezer as backup. I'm glad that they included this in the writing of the New York Times Magazine. And you should actually try it. And not only try it, but add this to a list of pandemic discoveries that you can only benefit from, because this is actually really good. And I'm wondering, while I'm out or up and recording, how many points is this serving size? Today, it's Sunday. I'm going to track my meals. Maybe I should add chickpea stew. Why doesn't it come up? How about chickpea stew? It seems like Weight Watchers has not caught up. Okay, chicken and chickpea stew, curry lentils. What is the closest thing I actually have? The closest thing I actually have to this is this cafe curried red lentil chickpea stew, but I'm gonna have to figure out how to basically change it, because I need to figure out how to edit it so it can reflect exactly what I ate. It doesn't allow you to do that very well. That's kind of annoying. So I'm going to go back in this and add ground beef. I'm not going to, it's much less than that. It's like not even 1/8 of an ounce that's included in this. Let's see, dinner total, I need to, but even with a little bit of, this is not curry, definitely, I need to, actually, it's called beef shira. So it's basically 0 points, especially the way that I've actually prepared it, even with a little bit of beef, which is probably less than 1/8 of an ounce. Yum. What actually makes me burn up all the calories, of course, is the dry martini or the dirty martini, but that's neither here nor there. So today, I'm going to have my usual cup of coffee. And for lunch, I had, what is it called? Cornish hens, half of a Cornish hen. It was less than that. 2 ounces with broccolatini. It's baby broccoli. I realize that I can't broccoli cook baby broccoli. Also 0 points, which is good. So I didn't have that. Save that.
Drew said that Ben and Brooks saw a nice big window over the sink of the Inspiration Home, and so I want to give them that here in their home. We're widening the opening. We're going to let in more light. It just means there's a little bit more brickwork and framing that has to happen. Even though we're going to extend this another 15 inches over, we don't have the new lintel.
So, let's leave the side for now, but they knock this bottom out. I've had a really good lunch. I'm eating what is probably going to quickly become my favorite dinner, and it's all good. And I still got 25 points, free points to track today because I've started tracking my food and what my intake truly is. I got to add this water. I don't really snack a lot, so that's actually something positive too. So Tinfra was eating today. I'm well within my smart points as far as Weight Watchers, and I've actually had some pretty good food. My braised broccolatini with roasted Cornish hens, and this beef shira is the bomb. And I hope you guys enjoyed eating today just as much as I've enjoyed talking about it. And this marks the first day of the National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo. That starts, and the challenge is to do 50,000 words within the 31 days of this month. Last year I was able to rewrite or add about just as many words to Not My Family. I haven't been able to get it re-edited and to have it republished. I'm finding out that there are a lot of unsavory characters out there that would like to rip me off, but would not like to republish that book. So that's where I am right now. This year, I plan on just keeping track of my historical or my fictional podcast, as well as the rewrite for Hamilton Heights, a screenplay that I used for an adaptation of Washington Heights. Or it's actually The Heiress, starring Olivia de Havilland, who, she may rest in peace, she actually passed away this year. And just as always, my whole goal in life is very simple. With this podcast, I want not only to entertain, but I want to encourage and in most instances, educate. I invite you to leave comments in the section after the note, or just shoot me an email at tinfroisreading@gmail.com. If your comments are not too trolly, I'll actually read them on air. And again, if you want a book that you haven't found in Chatterbooks, again, just leave me that suggestions and I'll actually add it to Chatterbooks. And I may, again, mention it on air or mention why I won't add it if it's not something that I think the vast majority of readers should have. I'll mention that too on air. I don't mean to drag you, but just so you know. When you hit send to my email address, it's open fodder to be actually included on air. So with that said, also you can navigate to Writer's Block Coffee and use my promo code TINFROISREADING to get 10% off of your order and shipping, as well as shipabagofdicks.com And use 10FROGOTJOKES as my promo code also to get a percentage off of your order and also off of shipping. And again, thank you for joining me. I had so much fun creating this episode this week. Also, if you navigate to my other channel, I basically kind of hotepped a little bit as far as the Great Pumpkin and the meaning of it for your listening pleasure. So I'll actually post that hopefully in the next couple of minutes, because unlike my other episode, I'm going to make sure that I edit that and edit out all of the blank spaces where I don't say anything before I actually publish it. So, and again, let me know what you think about the episodes that I've published in the last couple of days. And you guys enjoy your week. Stay safe. And if you haven't already voted, please vote. It's November 3rd in 2 days. You have to vote like your life depends on it. And thank you for listening.